It's time for our Wednesday morning conversation with Ted Foley from Foley's Tree Service and Foley's Forest Products. And let's see here, anything else? Foley's Crane Service?
Yeah, Foley's Crane Service, yeah.
Crane Service. How you doing, Ted?
Doing well.
I'm doing okay, doing okay. I was talking about your firewood products the other day because somebody called in on Trading Mart. They had a solo stove that they wanted to sell. We have a solo stove. Just love that thing. Your wood works best in them for a couple different reasons. First of all, it burns super dry. There's not a lot of crackling and popping and all that kind of stuff, because usually when you're using one of those solo stoves, it's in a smaller, more intimate setting, so to speak, not a, you know, a fire pit where everybody can kind of spread out a little bit. So you don't want that all that stuff popping. If you got a solo stove, your firewood works best. Hands down, period. It splits super easy. So you can split it to the size of matchsticks. You don't need any other kindling. Right. Get a bundle of Foley's wood and your solo stove, you're good to go.
Yeah, and that's just part of the kiln drying process. You know, there's, I mean, with no moisture left in it, it's just, it's dry. And so it just burns really well. So, you know, and of course, like we've said a lot of times, less smoke overall as well, because you're not just getting that as many carcinogens.
So if you got a new solo stove, don't scrimp. Get your wood from Foley's. And where are you selling that stuff nowadays? Is it still out and about in several locations, or you got to come out to your place?
Out to our place, or we do deliveries as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so
okay.
We have, you know, lots of kiln-dried wood underneath the building right now. That's all just kind of basically just waiting to sell. And we have loads going out, you know, almost every day. But, yeah, we have a lot of wood available. You can go up there, pick it up. We do have after-hours locations where you can just go up and pick it up, even if we're not open.
Super simple to work with, too. Like I say, I get my little hatchet out. I just barely, you know, put it into the top of one of those split pieces. Just hit it on the concrete a little bit. Splits right in half until it's just awesome stuff.
It's really nice. And it's just nice to work with. It's clean. You know, it's bug-free, so you're not bringing bugs into the home. You're not bringing bugs. You know, if you're worried about, like, oak wilt disease and firewood coming into your property because you have oak trees, you know, all this is kiln dried. So everything is basically killed off in that process between bugs and disease. So it's very clean wood as well.
Oh, awesome. It's just really, really good stuff. The elephant in the room this morning, Ted, is the storm outside. Now, I'm not sure how bad it got out there. Have you been out and about at all this morning, or just between here and your place?
I haven't been. I've just been in the office this morning doing some work, but I'm out about all afternoon, and we'll see. You know, and part of, you know, the conversation today is some people, you know, you just don't know if you've never dealt with damage on your property,
right,
you know, with a storm. Like, well, what is the system of events? What do you do exactly?
Well, we can take that step by step here. So the first step is weathering the storm, and hopefully everybody comes out healthy. But, you know, stuff can always be fixed. But when it comes to a storm, there, especially if it's really bad, let's think it's really bad. There's branches down, trees and homes, power, all that stuff is affected. There's a sequence of events that has to take place. So let's go over that, Ted.
So the biggest sequence of events is, number one, your safety and anybody around you's safety. So, you know, anytime you have storm damage, you have several factors that are very dangerous situations. Number one, you have hanging trees that could fail at any point in time. You have hanging branches that could fail at any point in time. And one of the biggest things is you could potentially have downed power wires. Now, most of the time, if a tree falls on a wire, it might knock and might break a circuit, pop out a circuit somewhere, a fuse, and that may not be energized. But we need to treat it as it is energized,
right? Right.
Because we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have, you know, neighbors down the street, maybe yourself, depending on how your generator was put in and installed, was it put in properly? Was it up to code? You never know.
Mm-hmm.
So even though maybe your Wisconsin Public Service and their power is out and there's no energy going through those lines, you can have what's called backfeeding the system. Where you have a generator somewhere down the street that is backfeeding electricity back into the system, which then can also be a very dangerous situation.
I've heard of that on your own property with your own generator. I didn't know that the neighbors could have an effect on yours as well.
Yeah, it all just depends on where it backfeeds to.
Okay.
So if it backfeeds to that wire that then comes to your house and there's no fuse in between that got popped, and it can continue that circuit and continue moving electricity to the line that's in your yard, it could make that line live.
You know what else happens during those times, Ted? I've been there once in 1999. A tornado blew through Eagle River. Our straight line winds, I don't remember what it was. But anyway, everything was wrecked. I remember I had to get back to work. And so I had to drive over down trees, and there were power lines down. And in the moment, you don't always think. In the moment, sometimes you just react and you think the worst.
Right.
I thought, how am I going to get between here and over those power lines? If I drive over them, I might get electrocuted or something like that.
Right.
But then my rational mind kicked in. Okay, I got rubber underneath my tires here, and I'm on the I can drive over this and I'll be safe. But I was assuming they were alive, and
right.
they were.
Right.
I made it across them just fine. But you got to remember to keep your wits in this stuff too, because one bad decision can spell disaster.
Yeah, very much so, and it's a very dangerous situation overall. So that's where you just need to be aware and just be so careful with what's going on out there. So once you've kind of, you know, seen what's going on, maybe you have a tree just across your driveway in your yard, you know, unfortunately maybe you have a tree on a structure on your house, on your garage, who knows what. But from that point in time, if you need help, you know, you give us a call. The best thing to do is get on our list. Some people, they wait and they want to make sure that, and I understand, they want to make sure they have their bases covered.
Sure.
So they want to call their insurance agent and to make sure insurance is aware of what's going on. And you can do that if you want. But if there's more rain, if there's other situations coming in, the biggest thing is to give Foley's a call to get on our list.
Right.
You know, we're basically operating 24/7. We have on-call teams that are available to go out and respond to situations whenever needed. But the big thing is to be on our list, because when a large system comes through and happens, there is a flood of calls coming in that we need to basically respond to. And you can only do so much.
Right,
yeah, we're
right.
running 8-10 crews, but those guys can get tied up pretty quickly when a big system does run through.
Let me ask you this. Do you have to have special crews when it comes to the storm damage stuff when you're dealing with the power lines? Are any extra training involved for some of those guys, or is this something all your guys are trained for and they're ready for and they can deal with it no matter what?
We're trained and ready for it. However, we still do not mess with power lines.
Okay.
It doesn't matter how well you're trained. I mean, you want to have your power company and their contractors dealing with power lines. So if you have a tree on a power line, we won't touch it.
You're not going to start cutting before WPS or whoever else gets there too, and you work as a team.
Correct.
Got it.
So we want, of course, our people to be safe as well. So, you know, all safety zones, all that all needs to be clear for us to come in and respond. So that's just something that we need to be aware of as well, because we'll ask. And the more information we know, the better. And then one of the questions we'll ask is if when those calls come in is, are there any down power lines? And if there are, and they say yes, and the tree is across one, we're going to say, okay, well, then we need to, you know, take the next step and get a hold of the power company, make sure they're aware. And we can come out and respond once the tree or once the power line is removed and put back up or whatever they're going to do. Sometimes they'll just coil it back to a pole until they can get the whole system going again, and then they'll rehook it.
But oftentimes that doesn't happen just like that. There's
right.
usually a waiting process. So you got power lines and a tree down. First thing is get on your waiting list, because
yep.
you know you're going to have to get out there. WPS will get there eventually, but mm-hmm. You call you first so you're on that list.
Yep.
How do you prioritize the calls then coming in? I would assume down power lines got to be right there near the top. Damaged home, water coming in the roof. How do you prioritize this stuff?
Well, you need to look at every job and figure it out. And one of the biggest priorities is a tree that uprooted or snapped and failed, but it didn't quite fall yet, but it's ready to fall and
okay.
is ready to fall in somebody's home or a structure. So, of course, those are high priority because we're trying to respond to that before the inevitable happens, where
right.
eventually it comes down. So, you know, that's very high priority. Another high priority is, you know, driveways that are blocked where people can't get in and out. Which is important, especially for elderly if they need
sure.
to get in and out. So that's definitely a high priority. And then from there, yeah, it's trees on structures, especially homes. You know, if it's a garage that's not finished, you know, if you get a little bit of water in there, it may not be as important as a finished garage or a home where we don't want as much water damage within the house.
So details on the part of the caller is going to be very important. And sometimes, Ted, you're not always thinking in your right mind when all this right. stuff is going on. So maybe take some notes down and as you're taking those notes and then say, okay, I got to make sure Ted knows all this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, because the more we know, the better. And the next most important thing is pictures. And that's pictures for insurance. You know, there's not an insurance company out there that wants to wait when a tree is on a house, because the biggest thing they want is that tree to be off that structure so they don't have additional costs
right.
because of water damage.
Yep.
So, like, almost all the time an insurance company is going to say, get a contractor in there and get the tree removed from the structure so you can get the holes patched up within the roof. However, make sure you just have good pictures of it all. You know,
yeah.
they want to see that this tree truly failed from
right.
from a storm. They want to make sure nobody cut the tree and it fell.
Right.
So, you know, having lots of pictures, most people do that anyway. You know, everybody has a phone on them now.
Right.
So you have this stuff happening. You're taking lots of pictures, videos. So as long as you have that, that's the most important thing, to where we can basically then respond and come and take care of the situation and get the tree off the structure, or if there's a tree ready to fall in the structure, get those trees removed for you.
My notes have something. It says on-call system. What does that exactly mean? Can people be, okay, we might have a storm, Ted, so if we do, I want you to come out here first. Not that kind of on-call.
Not really. That's okay. More like our crews that are on-call.
Okay.
You know, the system that we have in place where, you know, we generally have a team available at all times if it's off hours.
Got it.
So if it's this evening or if it's on Saturday, actually this past Saturday from Friday night storm, we had to get a crew out Saturday morning to take a tree off of a house. It's just having that on-call system where we have basically people available that are willing to respond and ready to respond when needed.
Is there, you've got every kind of a tree removal machine in the world. I can't believe there aren't a lot of types of forestry or machinery that you use that you don't actually have at your disposal right away, Ted. So when it comes to the machinery that you use when it comes to storm cleanup, anything special that you've invested in?
Well, yeah, a lot.
A whole bunch, right?
Yeah, a bunch. So, yeah, between all the different cranes that we have and cranes that have grapples and saws on them, you know, some of these cranes, 100 to 115 feet of reach, that at the end of that reach, you have a grapple and a saw on it. So you can literally, you know, just park out in the driveway, reach over the house, you know, grab that piece that's on the house, cut it off, lift it off the house. So, you know, a big portion of, and why a lot of insurance companies like working with Foley's, is because we're not going to create additional damage to the claim. So we have the right machinery that can pick the trees off the house rather than pulling the trees off the house, which oftentimes can happen.
You know, for anybody that can't visualize that, let's say that you've got like a 75-foot driveway. Mm-hmm. Your garage sits at the end of that 75-foot driveway, but you got all kinds of clutter and all kinds of stuff in between the road and that garage system. You can literally park that truck out on the road, reach the grabber, whatever you want. Yeah. Reach all the way back there to the back of the garage, get the trees off, and not have to worry about all the stuff in front of it. I think it's just amazing, some of the stuff that you have, and watching it work is also amazing. It's like entertainment.
It really is. People love watching it.
Yeah.
They truly do. Our guys are used to having a lot of...
An audience.
Yes, an audience. People
do they
viewing.
Get applause?
At times, I'm sure they do.
I bet they do,
right?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, like one of our cranes. I mean, we can reach trees 175 feet away from where the crane sits. So that's a long way.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a 200-foot boom. You can almost lay that boom down. Granted, we're not picking, you know, 10,000 pounds at that distance, but you can still pick, you know, 1,500 pounds 175 feet away from where the crane sits. So, you know, and that's part of it. A lot with these systems, you get lots of rain. You know, conditions are soft. So, you know, the more that we can stay off the lawns and use these specialized pieces of equipment at that point in time, it's all the better, because we're creating less potential damage to your property.
I'm going to make an educated assumption here, thinking that Foley's Tree Service is probably one of the only businesses of its kind that has this type of machinery and this type of equipment to get the job done. So I guess my point is, call Foley's first.
Yeah, for sure. And not to mention, you know, a big reason to call Foley's is because we've worked with these types of systems so much.
Yeah.
We've worked with insurance so much. We understand what insurance covers. So we are here to work with you as well as the client to let you know what insurance will actually cover in this damage. If a tree just went and fell in your yard, I get this asked question all the time. If a tree falls in your yard and does not hit something that's insured, so they don't insure your lawn, they
right.
don't insure your soil.
Right.
If a tree falls in your yard, insurance is very unlikely. There's been a few times where a really good insurance policy will cover that, but it's rare.
Yeah.
If it falls in your yard and doesn't affect anything, it's not going to be covered under insurance.
Understood.
It has to hit something of possession that your insurance policy covers, be in your house, your shed, your garage, a driveway. You know, they'll cover trees across driveways.
Okay.
But you'll have a claim. So if it's just one tree across the driveway, is it worth paying a deductible and having a claim for that? So,
well, if it was a big, heavy tree and it hit the asphalt just right, that it punctured a hole into the asphalt, that would be a reason to do it.
And that would be, definitely. Yeah. And that's why it's still better to take the pictures. It's still better to get a hold of your insurance agent to let them know what's going on. because you don't necessarily have to file a claim, even though you've done all that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can all you can still see kind of after all is said and done, after the trees are removed, okay, what type of damage do we actually have here? Do we have damage or not?
Exactly.
The last thing I want to point out when insurance or really anything is involved, you know, when storms hit, we don't know necessarily all the time where that object came from. So in the world of legal law within Wisconsin, and with insurance companies, it doesn't matter where the object comes from. It matters what it hits.
So I'm thinking, okay, so we're talking about you hearing tornadoes where the neighbor's barn is, you know, half mile down the road at the other farm down. That's right. The kind of situation you're talking about.
That type of situation. Or a tree, the most common, of course, where I'm going, is a tree on your neighbor's property falls and hits your house or your garage.
Okay.
Who's responsible? We get this question all the time. Who's responsible is whoever owns the property that it hit, not where it comes from. Does not matter where that object comes from. It 100% falls on whatever it hits.
Okay.
So, Jeff, at your house, your neighbor's tree, you have a lot line fairly close.
Yep.
Your neighbor's tree falls on your garage.
Yep.
As much as you say, well, it's your tree, neighbor.
Right.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It all depends on where it falls.
As soon as it crosses, the garage there, so it's my fault.
As soon as it crosses that property line. It's your responsibility, so it's your insurance. So people say, well, isn't it their insurance? No, because their insurance policy doesn't cover your house or your garage. It's your insurance. Now, there's ways around that, but in general, unless you already notified that neighbor that that tree was in bad condition and they should remove that tree, and if they don't do anything and it's in writing, you know, then it's negligence on their behalf.
So again, record keeping pictures, take pictures of that failing tree first, and then whatever the outcome is when you're having that conversation with your neighbor, maybe, I don't know if you can record those conversations, but definitely take notes.
For sure, take notes. And if you don't have proof that you notified them of a bad tree and it still falls, you know, then it's still your responsibility.
Right.
So it's a big thing. Like, it doesn't matter as long as it crosses that property line. As soon as it crosses that property line, it's your responsibility.
I don't know if we've ever timed it out so well, Ted. One of the things that's gone perfect for this morning is the timing of your visit here with us this morning on a stormy day. It's your Wednesday to come and talk to us. And so I don't think we've ever had this kind of in-depth discussion about storm damage before. Right. I've learned several things, and I hope other people have too. So just to kind of encapsulate everything that we just covered, call Ted first before you call the power company. Get on that waiting list. You get prioritized, and I would assume then you get back to the folks and say, okay, we've got a bunch of jobs coming in. You're number three for the day today, right. Something like that.
Yeah.
And so you've got all the equipment necessary, and so I think just being prepared is and having a plan is always the best thing, but sometimes you don't know what to prioritize, and now we do.
And you don't, and it's a whirlwind. You know, there's anxiety. There's all kinds of stuff that goes on when these storms hit, and, you know, your brain can be running all over the place trying to get things figured out, and that's what we're there for. You know, I mean, we are there to help you and assist you to kind of like, okay, here's what we need to do. Where are you at? You know, what have you done so far up to this date, you know, up to this time making this phone call? But literally, like, sometimes these storms will run through at 10 o'clock at night, 1 in the morning. My phone will start ringing because people know they want us to do the work, and they know that we're going to be busy.
Right.
So their first thing is, Ted, we just want to be on the list.
Okay?
That's great.
Okay.
I mean, we want that because it's better to have that than the next, and this is what happens a lot, the next morning our crews report at 6:30 in the morning. They go out to do their regular work, but we know a storm hit that night, but we don't have any calls yet.
Yeah.
So we respond to crews, and they go to Eagle River, let's say.
Sure.
And they get all the way to Eagle River, and now a phone call comes in.
Right.
And that phone call comes in Tomahawk or Merrill or Wausau. And, you know, ideally you have a crew in those areas, and that's a great thing about us is that we have so many crews running around is that generally we're going to have a crew in an area, in one of our service areas.
Mm-hmm.
But if not, it's just a little bit more coordinating to try to get a crew there. So the sooner we know, the better, because then we can start planning to get a crew there and get a plan together to route them.
If you own a home, if that home has property with trees on it, Foley's Tree Service should probably be on a magnet on the refrigerator.
Yeah, well, it should be.
it should be. And so do you have any of those magnets out at the shop?
I think we do, actually.
Something like that. Anyway, but now's a good chance to hear Ted himself. What is the number when anything like this happens? 24/7, Ted, what number do you want him to call?
call the office line, which is 715-453-2407. You know, if it's after hours, there will be an option. I think it's press 9 or whatever it is, that will basically direct to either myself on my cell phone, the emergency line, or it'll go to Michael, our other sales arborist. It'll go to somebody to where at least we're aware of it, and now we can start planning.
We'll have to talk about oak wilt some other time, but bottom line, getting better, getting worse, what do you think?
Worse. Definitely worse.
Okay, we'll expand on that next time we talk. Ted Foley, Foley's Tree Service, Foley's Forest Products. You need firewood for your solo, he's the man. If you need storm cleanup, he's the man too. Ted, thanks for being here this morning. And again, timing was perfect.
Thank you, Jeff.